Today on Real Radio.
What are we supposed to do? Preach to every creature? Because we don't know. Evangelize everybody. Where? How does that play out in the parable? Oh, Jesus says they're hidden in this world.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. So far in this series, we've typically looked at one parable at a time, breaking down each analogy. Now, our primary text has been in Matthew chapter 13, which records many of these parables. And we will be in that portion of Scripture today, but we're also going to look at the Old Testament, which gives a foreshadowing of why and how believers receive these literary devices and their methods of communicating the truth of God's written word. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Hidden Treasures.
What Jesus thinks about you, mark it down number one, is, oh, how you are loved. Loved. Don't let anyone misinterpret this parable and rob you of great joy, my friend, ever. Look at your Bible, mark verse 44. You are loved. That's what this parable is communicating. In fact, look, Matthew 13, 44, there in it says, for joy over it, that is the treasure hidden in the field. Look at verse 46, who when he had found one pearl of great price. Don't think for a moment that the hidden treasure is Jesus and the pearl of great price is Jesus. That is not what this parable teaches. There are hymns that are written saying such a thing, and it is biblically inaccurate. Number one thing, mark it down, and you'll see it come to light in a moment. What Jesus thinks about you, Jew or Gentile, right now, is that you are loved. You are loved by God in such a way that it is unfathomable for you to comprehend. It is beyond your scope of understanding how much God loves you. And don't equate for a moment what you're going through in life is basing or somehow indicating God's love for you or God's God not loving you. That has nothing to do with what he has said. He says, I love you. Who has he said this to? Well, how far do you want to carry this? Number one, he says it to the Jewish nation, to the Jewish people. He loves them. He says to the Gentile world, I love you. And if that's not satisfactory enough, the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. More on that in a moment. God announces in the Bible of his great love for you. What does Jesus think about you? He's the one giving the parable. And this gets very, very exciting. Because he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And it is like a treasure hidden in a field. We know from our previous studies in what is called expositional constancy, a law of biblical interpretation, you can't mess it up. If you do mess it up, then you create a cult. That's how you create a cult, is that you do not obey the laws of biblical interpretation. Number one, we've already been introduced to what the field is. The field is the world. Jesus already told us that. In the world, there is a treasure that is hidden in the world. Keep this mind going. Keep this thought going. Which a man found and hid. Now, a man found and hid. Who would be the man? The interpretation, consistency, a man went out and sowed seed. Do you remember who that was? None other than the Lord himself. Remember? The seed was the word of God. The man, Jesus, is speaking of himself. Well, then why does it say that he hid? He got it, he found, and he hid. Watch this. The word doesn't mean hide, like Jesus found you and he wants to keep you under wraps and not let you come out. It speaks about the sovereignty of God in what he knows. Jesus cannot learn anything. God cannot learn anything. And this verse speaks of that in the earth, think about it, for the last 2,000 years, God, who alone knows this, every generation of people, there are believers that to the mind of God, he already knows who they are. How does that, doesn't that get you excited? I like that. What are we supposed to do? Preach to every creature. Because we don't know. Evangelize everybody. Where, how does that play out in the parable? Oh, Jesus says they're hidden in this world. Think about the people that you're going to see in your ministry lifetime, in your faithfulness to Christ, that are going to accept the Lord. Is it going to be your grandma? Is it going to be your child? Is it going to be your neighbor? Isn't it amazing? Right now, they are as though they were hidden, but not to the mind of God. You don't know. I don't know. That's why we're supposed to preach to everybody. Are you with me? Well, you know, I'm going to wait and see. Oh, let it go. Jesus said, go preach to every creature. You can walk around Chino Hills and preach to the cattle roaming out there and practice on them. Or to be more biblical, I guess you could go down the road and preach to some sheep. Keep it in the family, you know? But God loves us. The communication is love. And I want you to think about this for a moment. Why did Jesus Christ leave heaven to come here? Why would Jesus put up with mankind's dealings with him as mankind has dealt with him? Why? Why would Jesus subject himself to the cross? The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus embraced the cross for the joy that was set before him. You ever think about that? Jesus never tried to get off the cross. He never tried to get out of it. You and I would have tried to get out of it. We would have done everything to get out of the cross. Jesus didn't. Jesus, in fact, said, when the time comes, I'm going to lay down my life. The Bible says that he never opened his mouth in defense. Read the fine print. He said, I lay down my life and I will raise it up again. Wow. John 3:16, I mentioned it a moment ago. Check this out. For God so loved the world. That's the field in the parable. That he gave his only begotten son. This is the price paid. The gift given, salvation. That whoever would be the pearls or whoever would be the treasure. Mark it down. It's going to come together later. Some of you are going, what? Believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is salvation. And let me add this. Isn't it precious that the Bible tells us that when one sinner repents and comes to Christ in salvation, that the angels in heaven rejoice over one convert to Christ. That is absolutely awesome. It's all about the love of God for you. Jesus Christ, the cross, his mission, his brutality received, the ministry revealed is all because he loves humans. And you might say, well, okay, I'll give you that. He loves humans. He loves you. Why do we resist this? I'm prone to this too. I'm confessing for you. It seems more economic to me if Jesus would love more people. Maybe this section over here. There's more. But that's how you and I think. We think like this. How much can I get for that? How many of those do I get for this much, right? Yeah. We're just looking for a deal, which is great. But in the mind of God, he doesn't have that economy like we do. I can't explain this. How is it that God is 100% delighted over the fact that he would have come and died on the cross for one sinner? If Adam and Eve would have been the only ones that have ever lived after their fall, Jesus still would have come and died. I don't get that. Come on, Costco, load up my pallet, man. If I'm going to lay down 10 bucks, I want 500 of them. God doesn't think like that. Isn't it amazing? That should comfort you because he loves you so much that he goes through every situation with you and he's going to take you through every situation. He's absolutely committed because he's not a human. He came and became a human for us. He is God Almighty. He's eternal. He is spirit. Jesus said that God is spirit and he is truth. And though that sounds too good for us, it is true. He loves you and he would have died for you. This gets fun. You ready? Jeremiah 31:3, which will explain why we had that elongated introduction. Jeremiah 31:3. Yes, God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Bible students, paying attention, who is he speaking to? Anybody? Class, anyone? Class. He was speaking to Israel. He was speaking to the nation of Israel. But Pastor, I love that verse. I do too. Well, is it for Israel? Yes. Oh, I thought it was for me. Yes. Well, who's it for? You. But what if I'm not Jewish? It's yours. What if I am Jewish? It's yours. Here's the requirement, Nicodemus. Do you believe him? There's neither Jew nor Gentile. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. Every one of them. That is good news. So as a Gentile, can I say that God has loved me with an everlasting love? Oh yeah. And he's drawn me to himself? Oh yeah. Is there a New Testament counterpart to that? Oh yeah. John 6:37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Those verses are eternally connected. The promise first given to Israel, but now has been adopted by the Christian. Because mark this verse down. It just came into my mind. It's not going to be on the screen. It's Romans chapter 2, verses 28 to 29 says, he is not a Jew who is one circumcised outwardly of the flesh with human hands, but he is a Jew who is circumcised inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart and not of hands, whose praise is not from men, but from God. What does that mean? That the word Jew, is your name Jude? Is your name Jude? Anybody? How about Judy? Any Judys here tonight? No Judys? One Judy on the aisle. Well, for her, the word Jew, Jude, Judy, Judith, is one who praises, a praiser, to praise God. So all the rest of you don't know what I'm talking about, apparently. Isn't that amazing? Who's a real Jew? A real Jew is one who's been circumcised in the heart. That's the issue. How does Jew and Gentile become one? Only one way. Is your heart circumcised? I like that. Number two tonight is this. What Jesus thinks about you is how you are valued. The value of you. Now, you guys need to really eat this message up because this is the most positive message I think I've ever delivered in my life. I mean, he loves you. He just oozes over you. And he values you greatly. He values you beyond your ability to estimate yourself or anyone else. Just think about the people that we might say under our breath or maybe out loud, I don't like them. Well, you know what? Now you're at odds with God. Oh, yeah, but they're so obnoxious. He loves them. You ever seen somebody that you just absolutely, I wouldn't give that guy the time of day. Jesus gave that guy his life. Wow. You're so valued. Back to the parable, verses 44 and 46 again, treasure hidden in the field, treasure. The parable says you are a treasure hidden in the field of the world. And there's a man, the man Christ Jesus, who sees you in the world, and you're a treasure to him. Ah, that's precious. And verse 46 says, a pearl of great price. Valued. Jesus is communicating the great value of the lost sinner. It is awesome to think. He will not leave us lost in eternity forever. He came and provided a way Now, granted, he will not make you go to heaven. You know that. I don't want anything to do with this. Then don't have anything to do with it. Just know this. God's truth and his announcement goes out to your heart just like it does to the person sitting next to you. It's what you do with it that will forever seal your fate in eternity. Will you accept his 100% provided free gift of salvation? No. Well, then listen. You are continuing down the path that you were born into. A path alienated from God and from his promises. But he loves even the worst of sinners who in this world are living and those who have died. The Bible says that God is, he weeps over the death of the wicked. You and I rejoice over the death of the wicked. God weeps over the death of the wicked. We all rejoice when Osama bin Laden got his dues. God wept. Isn't it weird to think? When Saddam Hussein died, God wept. I cheered. Isn't that pathetic? He's amazing. John 17, how valued are you? John 17, 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, this is a prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority, notice the Holy Spirit is speaking through Jesus, third person. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And here's the definition of eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Wow. How much are you valued? So much that God would send his Son. Think of the depth of this meaning. Now go or look to 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have from God. And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Remember the parable. A man saw a treasure in a field. And he bought it. A man saw a pearl of great price. And he bought it. Jesus bought. Isn't it strange? Jesus creates the universe, including the earth. But by his own life, has to buy it or redeem it out of slavery. Sin slavery. Why? He does that to get out of it precious things. God sees you as so valued. We're going to have to receive this by faith, people. It's just not normal for us to go, I'm so valued. Oh, am I loved? I understand that. But you know what? We are. It should change your attitudes a bit, huh? It should certainly affect how we treat other people. You're going to go home, you know, to that unbelieving wife or husband that let you go to church tonight. They're glad. Get out of here. Go take your Bible. Go sing your little songs. I'm going to watch the game, drink some beers, kick back. You can tell me all about the sermon when you get home tonight. Well, I know, you know, you're tempted to go home and, oh man, there's that bum. Jesus loves that bum. He loves them. He values them so highly. Isn't it sad you think about it? They don't value themselves so much. You're blood-bought, property of the living God. Look back at that second portion of this combo parable. Look at verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking. Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Beautiful pearls. This is interesting because the Jews had nothing to do with pearls. Is that interesting? They don't do pearls. Jesus has got everyone's attention now. They don't do pearls, which is really interesting because it's a Gentile thing, pearls. Even in Jesus' day, it was a Gentile thing. Isn't it sweet, though? In the book of Revelation, there's 12 gates, all made out of what? Solid. Each gate is one solid pearl. And the Jew would go, well, that's weird. We don't do ocean things. It's an unclean thing. Do you see the message Jesus is sending? Do you remember how we started this message? Jew, Gentile, all one, if you believe in Christ. People go, are you Jewish? Nope. But the God I worship is Jewish. That's fun. So think, watch. An oyster, this is kind of fun. I did some oyster homework for this message. Where do you get pearls from? Have you ever seen an oyster?
Yes.
I should have brought one out here. They're one of the ugliest looking things on the planet. If you've never seen an oyster, if I showed you an oyster, you'd say there's no way it's an oyster. Well, listen, an oyster. It's interesting because it's a treasure. What's inside of it that doesn't appear on the surface? You'd walk right past it. Look, people walk past us all the time. That's what's inside the oyster, huh? Where's the Holy Spirit? Inside you. Remember how we talked about a Sunday or two ago, whenever that was? The outward man is perishing, but the inward man's being renewed? Was that like last Sunday or last year? I can't remember. Wow, listen. Cleopatra, you know Cleopatra, she had that thing, her and Mark Anthony, all that stuff going on. She had a gift given to her. She wore on her neck two pearls that the size of them was recorded in Roman history, that today they're both estimated at nearly $500,000 each. Pearls, but that's Gentile.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Hidden Treasures. It's a look at Matthew chapter 13, as well as other parts of Scripture that explain why and how believers receive these literary analogies. The Parable of the Hidden Treasures, part of Pastor Jack's series on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Okay, it's Monday, and as we often remind you every Monday, you can watch our weekly television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. In fact, you can watch it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, Pastor Jack and his guests engage in some informative discussions, interesting ones, discussions, interviews, most of which can be boiled down to one phrase, the Judeo-Christian worldview. Topics like Scripture, is it accurate, is it reliable, and how do we know that it is indeed the Word of God? Evangelism, are we all called to preach to the masses, or are there various ways to participate in evangelism? Apologetics, how do we defend the truths of God's Word? Doctrine, faith and politics, marriage and family, accurate views of history, and so much more. There's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program every Monday. And, of course, you can browse the categories for yourself and see archived programs, too. Just pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And, of course, you'll also find links to just about all that's connected to this radio broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.